Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, that escalated quickly, almost as fast as Stephon Gilmore getting dealt from the Patriots to the Panthers.
Well, yeah, that's true. That was quick last week
as
well.
That was very quick because in the the span of less than a show, it was over. So is John Gruden.
Yeah, he is out as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. I had told you when he was originally hired by the then Oakland Raiders, I didn't expect him to make the move to Las Vegas.
16-0, man.
I mean,
right, but not for you thought for play.
Well, yeah, I just thought it wasn't going to work from a coaching standpoint. It just wasn't going to work out there, right? From a football standpoint. Yeah. I never thought he'd be homophobic, racist, misogynistic all in one day. I mean, and just offended everything that the NFL is trying to stand for. Concussion protocols, kneeling for the national anthem, homosexual players coming into the National Football League, female officials. He even had pictures allegedly of cheerleaders that were topless from the Washington football team back in the day. I mean, like, this guy legitimately, Josh, checked every single box. Wow. Of ways not to behave.
Open book on email.
He got a blackout on that NFL bingo card.
Every single box you could have checked. Oh, and then he insulted the commissioner, too, with a derogatory term.
Right, right, right.
So John Gruden is out as Raiders head coach. This, to me, is not cancel culture in the least. It's removing somebody who is against everything that is basically right in this world, right? Like, everything that the NFL is trying to do to move forward, to get better, to make the world a better place, John Gruden was against all of it, and John Gruden needed to go as the head coach of the Raiders. Not from the standpoint that I don't think he could have quote-unquote coached football. I just don't think he could have managed a locker room, and if you're a team that employs a guy like that, what does that say about your reputation? You just can't allow somebody like that with those beliefs, those views that you actually put in an email to be out there leading your organization.
Multiple emails.
Yeah. Right. He
was an open book on email.
Yeah.
Just whatever you want me, whatever you want on blast, he's got it in an email.
He's
apparently
got it, yeah.
So much so that Mark Davis put out this statement last night, the owner of the Raiders. I have accepted John Gruden's resignation as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders.
That's it.
He did not include we wish him well in his future endeavors.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
No, I have accepted his resignation. It's time to move on.
That escalated quick.
It did. And, 650,000 emails the league has been going through investigating the Washington football team for their lewd behavior that took place over the years. Who knew John Gruden would be the one?
Yeah. Those emails and they got Gruden.
Right. They got John Gruden on being just a deplorable human being.
When he was working for ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently was, exchanging a whole bunch of emails with a higher up in the Washington organization.
Right, who work with at the Raider organization back in the day, Bruce Allen. And so he's no longer with the Washington football team. He was relieved of his duties a couple of years ago. And there was a crossover time for 2 years, I think, where Gruden had come back to the Raiders and Allen was still in, Washington leading that franchise into the whatever that is over there in Washington. And so there, some question of did these emails then occur when both were employees of NFL teams? And Mike Florio had a really good conspiracy theory on this, that the NFL may have more than what they've already released, and they were just going to keep trickling out these emails and sending these emails to the media until the Raiders did something and removed John Gruden, because where the NFL sits right now, like, it was 2011. He wasn't working for anybody in 2011. He was on TV. He was on ESPN. He wasn't our employee. There's really nothing we can do about that. But if you continue to trickle out these emails in hopes that the Raiders go out there and do something, then they can take care of the business for you, and you don't have to worry about having John Gruden as a face, as a figure that's representing the Shield. And if you go against the Shield and you work for the NFL and you work in that organization and you're not doing exactly what they want and living up to the standards that they set, they will run you out of town. And John Gruden absolutely 100% deserved to be run out of town as the Raiders head coach. I pray he never coaches anywhere again and has an influence over young people. I mean, there's talk now, you know, the USC job being open. Maybe John Gruden takes that. And I've heard Tennessee fans already wanting him to go coach at Tennessee. This guy has no business leading young people. This guy has no business leading anybody right now. John Gruden just kind of needs to go away and sit in his home and try to figure out what he's going to do for the rest of his life, because it ain't going to be involved in football.
Yeah, broadcasting's over too.
Broadcasting's done as well. He had nothing with football.
Even if he had gotten fired the next time with the Raiders, he could have circled back and done television again.
Absolutely.
Probably been great at it, but that's gone now too. Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, says this isn't what the Raiders are about.
The Las Vegas Raiders organization, formerly the Oakland Raiders organization, has been really one of the pillars of diversity and advancement over the course of the past several decades. They've had a woman essentially as the right hand to the owner in Amy Trask. They have promoted several black coaches at a time when many teams did not. They've had a Hispanic head coach. This has been a diverse organization that has promoted diversity. And the fact that over the past several hours and several days, Mark Davis had to answer questions about a coach who wrote many racist things in emails, homophobic things in emails. And this is not what the Raiders have stood for. We have not yet really heard publicly very much from Mark Davis. I'll be curious when he does speak about the values that this organization has stood for, Steve, and obviously completely opposite of everything that we've learned about John Gruden over the past couple of days.
Thanks, Ian, and don't call me Steve.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. But he's right about the Raiders. And you know, the Chiefs are in that category as well, as teams that have been, you know, on the forefront of advancement. I mean, when the Chiefs were in the old AFL and they were the Dallas Texans, they were giving kids from the historically black colleges and universities opportunities to come in and play in the National Football League or the AFL at the time, which other organizations were not doing, and the Raiders as well. I mean, Amy Trask, you've seen her on CBS. Yes, she's been on this show before, very, very popular in the social media. She was basically the president of the Raiders for 2 decades when Al Davis was the owner of that franchise. And so they've always been on the forefront of creating opportunity and giving folks the chance, regardless of race, creed, color, or sexual orientation. The Raiders have been one of the forefront programs. And now, with the Raiders having the first openly gay NFL player and Carl Nassib on their roster right now, how can you have a coach that's clearly saying homophobic slurs be the leader of that organization when one of your players is gay? I mean, I just think that the match
hard time for, leading.
Yeah, very hard time
very
leading.
Hard time
very hard time leading.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, you just can't lead an organization, and you can't be the face of an organization when you're against so many folks that play and work and live with that organization and in the National Football League. So, I mean, it was time. I don't think anybody questioned the fact that this guy had to resign or be fired as the head coach of the Raiders. And you can tell by that statement that Mark Davis made, he is not a happy camper right now. And he is not somebody that takes this lightly. We don't even wish John Gruden well. We just accepted his resignation. Yeah. He's not happy right now.
So this was John Gruden earlier in the day yesterday as he had his Monday press conference. And felt good about what he stands for.
I've learned a lot. And again, I'm not going to rehash the event again. I think I feel very good about the things I have learned. I also feel really good about what I stand for, as I said yesterday. And I'll be happy to talk about football, but I'll just leave it at that.
The event.
The event. What event?
Hitting send? I don't know. What.
All the emails where you literally offended every single person in the world?
So I think at that point in time, he thought he could survive. Probably also left that one saying, I'm going to get these questions forever. I am a distraction. I don't want to deal with it. I'm out.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it was either fired or resigned. You choose how you want to go, because after that second wave of email came, there's no way you could have kept John Gruden. It seemed like after the first wave of emails, or the one email where he offended Demaurice Smith like he did, you know, that was a Friday afternoon type of thing, and it kind of got through the weekend, and maybe he would have been able to kind of survive, you know, that email.
Oh, but you want to stick around? Yeah, oh, we got this, this, we got this, this, and this, too.
This and this. And so, you know, here's money. You're still the coach of the Raiders after saying those comments over, you know, the last couple of years and getting released over the weekend. They still haven't moved on from you. Okay, no, so now we've got this where you've offended this person, you've offended that person, you've offended this, you've offended that. You've literally checked every box of offensiveness, and so now you have to go as coach of the Raiders. And you know, some people have said, Josh, I guess somebody has an axe to grind against John Gruden. No, they were going through these emails for the Washington football team, and this is what they came across in the 650,000 emails that were, you know, subpoenaed or looked at or whatever the case may be. This is what they saw. This is what happened. And this is the repercussions for saying those things. Again, you have the right to free speech and you can say whatever you want. You also have the right to be held accountable and pay the price for saying those things when they're not proper or correct or living up to the standards of everybody in this country.
So the Chiefs will be facing the Raiders two times with assistant, now interim head coach, Rich Bisaccia. As the head coach of the Raiders, Rich Bisaccia.
Should we call Binkley and find out if he knows that guy?
So. He's been around. One of those been around guys.
Has he been around? Yeah. This is the first I've heard of the name.
Yeah. He's in his 38th year of coaching.
Oh, okay.
This is his bio right now on Raiders.com. Rich Bisaccia, interim head coach / special teams coordinator. Now in his 38th year of coaching, Rich Bisaccia enters his fourth year with the Silver and Black in 2021. He became the interim head coach on October 11th, 2021.
That's it.
I never even heard of the guy, to be honest.
I mean, you click more in his profile, but
yeah,
they actually updated it to say
he's the interim head coach.
Oh no, that's all his bio has.
That's it.
They totally can. I swear it was longer last night. Like, had his background where that all it says is he became the interim coach on October 11th, 2020. It was as if Wikipedia redid it. That's what's at the Raiders team site.
Yeah, well, there you go. Rich Scangarello, is that his name?
Rich Bisaccia.
Bisaccia. Who was Rich Scangarello? Wasn't he an assistant coach with the Broncos or something that was like an interim guy?
That sounds right.
That sounds like a football coach that I know from the past. So, yeah, congratulations to him. I'm literally surprised. And this is another one of those, oh my God, I didn't know, but now I know. Tom Cable wasn't promoted to the assistant head coach, right?
I made a joke to you guys last night. I'm sure they'll hire Tom Cable again. Ha ha ha. And you're like, he's still with the team. I'm like, what?
Yeah, he's still on the staff.
Yeah, he was the offensive line coach with the Raiders still. Well, I knew they liked him. He wasn't cut out to be the head coach. They kept him around, but just felt kind of weird, right? You're fired head coach on that same team remains as an offensive line coach.
Now, he had gone away for a couple of years to Seattle and coached them and, you know, won the Super Bowl up there with the Seahawks and all. But yeah, I saw
Tom
Cable
probably went running when all this stuff happened. Like, I don't want this again.
I don't want this job. No, but I'm surprised. Like, you know, you got fired from an organization, but yet you'll come back and be an assistant. It's like Gunther Cunningham all over again when they brought him back to Kansas City after a couple of years away and after firing him as the head coach. And then he came back and worked for the man that took his job. You know, Gunther Cunningham did in Dick Vermeil. I always thought that was weird. But this one with Tom Cable still being around the Oakland Raider organization after being fired as the head coach years later. I mean, he was fired, Josh, like before 2010 as coach of the Raiders. And so it's been a long time, but now he's back as the offensive line coach. I thought he was a lock to be the interim head coach.
He's like, nope. There, done that.
But you always give it to the special teams guy because, you know, they work both sides of the room.
He was the assistant head coach as well. So,
was he? Yes. Okay, well, special teams coach, assistant head coach, boom, you're promoted. And now you get the opportunity to, you know, to work for the greatness of the Raiders and try to pull this thing out of the mud right now.
Correct. So Rich Bisaccia will be leading the Raiders on a bus.
Yeah.
Towards Arrowhead. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Rich.
I don't think they're going to circle it this time, but. Towards Arrowhead. So the Astros are trying to cheat again. Or you just throw it out there. Either way. Next.
Fesco in the Morning. Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here we go again with the Astros are in baseball's postseason. I don't know if you're paying attention.
Yeah, they are. I saw that.
They're up 2-1 of the White Sox. They were rained out yesterday. They'll try it again this afternoon in Chicago. But there's more accusations of cheating by the Astros. Uh-oh. Ryan Tepera.
Never heard of him.
Who?
Not the only one. The reliever for the White Sox was asked if he thinks the Astros are up to something.
They've obviously had a reputation of, you know, doing some sketchy stuff over there. And, you know, it's just we can say that it's a little bit of a difference. You know, I think you saw the swings and misses tonight compared to, you know, the first two games of Minute Maid. But that's not really the story. You know, we come here to play. You know, we're going to compete. We're not going to worry about what they're going to do. All we have to do is execute pitches, and they can't hit them anyways.
So he implied that the Astros were stealing signs against the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. And they're better at home than they are on the road. Right. Now, the Astros, what, they did win, you know, at home, and they did lose on the road. So, I mean, if you want to really sit there and, you know, start to split hairs a little bit, that's fine. But I think you had said it last night. If you're somebody that's playing against the Astros, you might as well just accuse them, right?
Why not try it?
You might as well.
Throw it out there. People will believe you.
Sure. Right? People are going to buy this kind of stuff.
Wow, they're cheating again? Wow.
But I didn't realize that Dusty Baker and Tony La Russa, like, literally hated each other. And there's, like, been no love lost in that relationship between those two guys. And it dates back decades, I guess, a very long time.
And also,
where this feud goes on.
Had a 500 record against one another heading into this series.
That's pretty wild, too. I didn't realize it. So, like, there's a lot on the line here. There's a lot of bitter blood here. And, you know, my wife was asking me the other night, she goes, who are we supposed to root for in this series? Astros or the White Sox?
Yeah,
it's like, can both of these teams lose right now?
Not even a fun hate watch. No,
right. No, it's not, because you truly do hate both of these organizations. And in my opinion, until everybody that was associated with that Astros thing is out of baseball, I don't know that I can still look at the Astros in the same vein. And if they are still cheating right now, and this team is still stealing signs and doing all of that kind of stuff, then the organization needs to be contracted, and everybody associated with the organization needs to be banned for life for baseball, and give them all the Pete Rose treatment. Let them go set up a camper outside the Hall of Fame and sign autographs across the street. But if this organization, after getting already busted one time and getting fined the paltry amount of $5 million, for cheating a couple of years ago, if they are back to cheating and doing those things again, then everybody on that team and that organization needs to disappear from the annals of baseball, and they need to find a new team and a new franchise for Houston, because you can get away with it once and claim mistake and ignorance and all that kind of nonsense, but if you're doing it again minutes after you had just gotten busted like the Astros did, there really is no room in baseball for people who are cheating and then just basically thumbing their nose and cheating again.
So Ryan Tepera accused the Astros of cheating, leaving Dusty Baker to respond.
I haven't heard anybody even talk about it, to tell you the truth. You know, he can say what he wants to say. I never even heard his name before. You know, we played the White Sox. I'm not bothered at all by it, really, because, you know, most of my life they've been talking stuff on me anyway. You know what I mean? So let them talk.
He pulled the never heard of him.
He did. He pulled the never heard of him card.
Never even heard of that guy until he played him.
That's what makes the story even better, because that what's the guy's name? Ryan Tepera. That's going to get under that dude's skin big time. Here's the manager of the organization saying, I never even heard of this
person. I haven't heard anybody even talk about it, to tell you the truth. You know, he can say what he wants to say. I never even heard his name before. You know, we played the White Sox. I never even heard his name before.
I mean, my
never
goodness.
Heard of him.
Dusty Baker going with the ultimate never heard of him. And right. For a baseball player who is a minor part of a team and a reliever like that, and really a minor player in Major League Baseball, to have a manager of the opposing team in the playoffs say, I never even heard of that guy before, makes it even better. This guy, Ryan Tepera, just got one up big time by Dusty Baker. Dusty with the subtle shot. That's why he's the manager, and that's why you, sir, sit out in the bullpen, because Dusty Baker just played the biggest kind of trump card you could possibly play, going with, I don't even know who this guy is. I've never even heard of this guy before.
I don't know who that is, and I don't care to find out.
I mean, that's the biggest insult, right?
Never heard of
like,
the guy.
That's the biggest insult that you could have. We're in the playoffs. We're supposed to have scattering reports. We don't know who this guy is. Yeah. I don't know who that guy is. They're not even scouting this guy. That's fantastic. Way to go, Dusty. Best comeback ever.
Tony La Russa just plays the perfect role of confused old man. I don't know what anybody's talking about.
I haven't read it. I heard something about it when I got here. I don't get into that stuff. I just don't get into it. And, I try to remember this is America, and players on our side can say what they want to, and I can say that I don't get into it if I want to. But I think that they're a very good team, and they're tough to beat. That's what I think.
This is America, and players can say what they want.
I haven't seen the fans or the media been this pessimistic since 1964.
Tony La Russa is playing his role perfectly.
I mean, that was really good. I don't know. It's America. You say what you want.
I don't have the internet. I don't read that stuff.
I haven't read that yet. I just got in here. Somebody's told me something about it.
It's on Bookface.
Exactly what went on, Tony. Yeah. One of your players went out there and accused the team from Houston of cheating and stealing signs. A manager and a head coach know everything that takes place inside their organization and what their players are saying to the media. If they don't, then they aren't doing their job, because that is their job to know about everything that is going on, especially when it is said in public. But God love Tony La Russa for playing the I just got in here card. I have no idea
what you're talking about.
I hadn't heard that.
But baseball needs this kind of stuff,
I don't
Josh.
Have the internet.
Baseball needs these kind of feuds to try to grab that casual fan, because they're not doing it. It's the postseason. People aren't really paying attention to what's going on. The best series that they have, all their games are starting at 9:30 at night with the Dodgers and the Giants. It's really the only series that I've cared to watch. I don't care about the Brewers and taking on the Braves or the Red Sox and the Rays or, you know, the White Sox playing the Astros is pretty good now because of this controversy. But the one that I wanted to watch is the Dodgers and Giants, and those games are starting well after I'm going to bed. So that's the big problem with baseball right now is that they have a marquee series, but it's on so late, the majority of the country isn't getting the opportunity to stay up and watch that. So now you've got this one that can be on in the middle of the day at least, and now you've got some infighting and some feuding going on that gives you a little bounce to your step to go, all right, let me tune into that game, see if these guys brawl.
Damn, LaRusso got another day game out of this.
Yeah, good he for did. Him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they were washed out yesterday. Yeah, they were rained out yesterday, so you got another day game today. Congratulations.
So then from the petty department, so the Red Sox knocked out the Rays yesterday, and they wrote, as they were celebrating with their goggles, you know, because you got to celebrate with your goggles.
The official goggles of Major League Baseball.
So their dry erase board in the clubhouse, they wrote, flight to Tampa canceled. And then their official Twitter account also put, alert, flight to Tampa canceled.
Canceled. They fly in Southwest?
No. They were just going there, but it was if necessary, and it's not necessary. Since they've advanced to the ALCS,
Out for their pilots or blaming weather? What are they doing here?
I thought that was a little bit rough. Not to mention, one of the players had a throat slash. I thought we weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah,
he did that.
Probably get in trouble for that.
Throat slashed, but flight to Tampa canceled. Yeah. So it's getting a little petty in baseball, which is good because it's about the only attention they seem to be getting right now.
Even Southwest is waiting. We see other airlines are canceling flights, too. It's not just us.
Not just us.
Oh, okay. Blame the air traffic control system again, Southwest.
It could have been much worse for CEH. We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Mahomes swings it left side screen. Clyde Edwards-Helaire breaking a tackle, slitting through the first block, and gets up to the 18-yard line. And some late whistles, an 11-yard pickup and a first down for the Chiefs on a well-executed screen, and it's Clyde Edwards-Helaire injured on the field. And he appears to be seriously injured, still face down on the field, running that screen pass to the left side.
I mean, obviously he's upset. He wants to play. I mean, he had the injury at the end of last year, and he's been rolling these last few weeks. And so he's upset. I mean, I don't know I didn't get to talk to him after yet. But hopefully it's nothing too serious, and we can have him back this season.
That was CEH getting injured on Sunday, the call on 106.5 The Wolf, and then Patrick Mahomes after the game, and we discussed his comment yesterday, like, I hope we get him back sometime this season. And I thought, that doesn't sound – well, the injury didn't look good, but also Mahomes' comments didn't make it look like, hopefully we get him back this season. Well, reports came out yesterday via Adam Schefter, a sprained MCL, and could be out a few weeks, or could only sideline him a few weeks. I guess best-case scenario would be a few weeks. I think
as long as he's not day-to-day.
That could be the case at some point in time. I'm just glad it's not a season ender. I think a season ender is a vastly different story, Bob, than having gone for a few weeks. You can make the adjustment within a few weeks. He's out for the season. I think that vastly changes what you're able to do in what seemed to be the signs of maybe an emerging run game.
It's a running back that got injured. Are we surprised about this?
No, I'm not. But also, they're not. You don't have something that's tremendously interchangeable on this roster. I don't think that this roster has been very deep at the running back position. I think it doesn't change my long-term philosophy on running backs, which is don't go out of your way to count on them because they're probably going to get hurt for you. But if he's not around,
they don't have another option.
They really don't, and that's on them. I mean, you got to build your roster and not just say, okay, we got a starter here and let's roll. But Andy Reid has been really good with random running backs that you've never heard of before, and they've got two that you kind of heard of, and, you know, Darrell Williams and Jerick McKinnon on the roster right now. You kind of heard of those guys
before,
right?
No, you've heard of them, but I don't know that either is – Darrell Williams doesn't – he's a great niche guy. I love him. I don't know that he's a every down type player. Jerick McKinnon's going to have to he's kind of a favorite, like, fourth outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would have to prove that he could handle much more of a load. So I guess those two would have an opportunity over the next several weeks. I'm glad it's not the season.
Do they still have that guy on the roster who they were comparing to the next, like, O.J. Simpson or whoever it was?
Oh, no.
Gale Sayers. Yeah. No, is that guy still around?
Gore, no.
So maybe they can go out and find him or whatnot. But, I mean, I just don't think you need to hit the pavement right now looking for a running back that's out there, because you've got a couple of guys on your team right now that can fill in. And if it's only going to be for a couple of weeks, then I think you need to bite the bullet right now. And Andy Reid even said it yesterday during his press conference. He goes, we got backups, they're supposed to step up and do the job. And so that's where we are right now. But I mean, this is not surprising to me that, you know, we're 2 years into the Clyde Edwards-Helaire situation and we've got two injuries that have derailed both of the seasons in which he's been a part of. That's why you don't draft a running back in the first round. I mean, look at Saquon Barkley's in the same boat. These guys just get so banged up and so injured all the time, taking a guy in the first round. And we had said it at the time, we're like, all right, if this is what they want to do, fine, I'll support it, but I'm not in the market of drafting a running back and wasting a first round draft pick on a running back when I can find one of those guys later on. Kareem Hunt was a third round draft pick, so you don't need to go out there and spend high draft capital to get a guy at the running back position.
Gale Sayers is on the practice squad too, Bob.
Oh, he is on the practice squad. Yeah. Okay, so you could elevate that guy, right? Yeah, I mean, you liked him during camp. You liked him during the preseason, so maybe he gets elevated and can be a guy that can be part of this team. But, I mean, this is the second time in 2 years that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has suffered a serious injury that has changed the shape of this offense. I just can't invest that kind of draft stock into that position anymore, and really didn't want to do it to begin with when they drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and it just continues to reassure. I'm not re-signing him when he reaches the end of his contract. I just can't. I mean, we talk about it with Mondi all the time about not being able to stay healthy and not being able to be part of what you want to do. Same thing goes with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, we've got two seasons, two injuries where he's going to miss a big chunk of the season.
Yeah, I'm not in the second contract running back camp anyway, but this kind of solidifies it too, because what does a few weeks mean?
Yeah, what does a few weeks mean? You know we're going to be talking about this in November, and is he going to be 100% healthy and ready to roll when he comes back, or is this going to be one of those injuries that, you know, you're not truly healthy from until you get real rest at the end of the year, where you're not constantly rehabbing and fighting time to try to get back as quickly as possible? How will he be affected? Will he be a step slower? Will he be able to do the stuff that, you know, we were talking about a week ago in the screen game and all that? I don't know where that's going to be, but I do know it's a position that they're going to have to now dig a little bit deeper and find guys to kind of step it up for the next couple of weeks until he gets back and can be a presence for you out there.
And I think it is a factor as well. The schedule does change a little bit, but we've been talking about the complementary offense and how it is beneficial to this team. And you did see some progress being made in the run game.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, have you derailed that now too? And then now you're just going to drop back and try to throw it 45 times.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that and expect to win football games with this defense right now. I mean, we're playing with a defense that is trending to be the worst defense in the history of the National Football League. They're giving up more yards per play than any other team in the history of this league right now. And if you have a defense that's doing that, you can't continue to just throw the football 45 times a game, because that's going to put your defense back out on the field.
This
whether you score
is horrible.
Whether you score quick or whether you know, three and out because you don't complete a couple of passes and you make yourself one dimensional, you're putting your defense back out there on the field. And that isn't something that this team can afford to do right now, because it's 7.1 yards per play that this defense is giving up. You're not giving your organization a chance to win when that defense is out there on the field. So maybe you hand it off to the fullback. What do they call him right now? The Kielbasa. You know, you can give it to that guy. You can give it to Jerick McKinnon. You got to find
really
ways.
We're not calling it that, are we?
Isn't that what Mitch has named him, right? The Kielbasa or something like that? Or the?
Why do I keep forgetting this?
It's another one of the smoked meats, the brat.
That he's the brat.
The brat,
does the brat is the brat? What he's calling him, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. We can give it to the brat. Let that guy go 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Whatever it is, they're going to have to find a way to get their running game and continue to have a balanced run. rushing attack. Otherwise, they're not going to win a lot of football games. I just don't think this team right now is built to win a lot of games if they don't have a decent enough balanced offensive attack, because the defense is so dreadfully woeful right now.
Yeah. So,
not have a nickname coming into this thing? We just got to give him a different sausage? I'm confused.
That's what Mitch gave him. I don't know. I don't know if I didn't
He's treading into dangerous waters. He's going to run out of sausage references after a while.
I would think. Well, you got Vienna. Maybe Michael Burton doesn't want the sausage. I mean, yeah. I'm not the next sausage. I'm the first Burton.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there a Lance Burton out there that was a magician? Why don't we just call him the magician then?
Well, that'd be a good one too.
Right? Why don't we call him Lance the magician?
Because he's a fullback in place, especially. I don't know.
He's a four-phaser too. We could just call him the phaser.
I don't know what's
magical?
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
El Mago?
Magicianal. That's not a word.
That sounds like something you're taking because you're sick.
Magical was what I was going
That's
for.
Right.
Yes, thank you.
Magical thank about you. That.
Magical.
Man, I've got to find somebody who's magicianal.
Four phaser. And you like Jerick McKinnon in short spurts. I don't know if it equates to anything further. I feel like Daryl Williams is in the perfect Daryl Williams role.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really probably expand much of what he's doing.
You're going to have to. You have to elevate yourself.
I don't know where they go. I think they'll just start throwing it around again.
That's a disaster.
I'm well aware that's not the direction we were looking for in that, but I think feel like that's where they're going to go.
Well, we're going to have to just go out score everybody again, and that's hard to do, man. It's hard to do, especially when teams are playing you differently now than they were, 2 years ago or 3 years ago when you were able to go outscore everybody. I mean, Andy talked about it a little bit yesterday about the zones that they're seeing now as opposed to the man-to-man coverage that they got originally, and they were able to exploit that. Teams are playing you differently right now. They're not going to let you go out there and just try to outscore them unless they're a very poor team like the Eagles or something like that. That's the only way you're going to be able to go out there and outscore somebody is play somebody who's really, really, really below you from the talent level. And I don't know how many teams are like that in the NFL right now. Everybody that plays in the league is pretty darn good. So if you try to go out there and outscore everybody, you're probably going to lose more games than you're going to win.
It was revealed this morning, all the NFL talking heads, that the NFL has confirmed that three cities are in discussions to host regular season games in Germany. Düsseldorf, Frankfurt, and Munich. I don't know which of those you prefer, Bob.
Munich, because I think that's where Oktoberfest is.
That would be all right, too. Yeah. Have been invited to proceed in the process. And the NFL is distinctly discussing staging games in Germany. I'd heard some rumors at the beginning of the season that the Chiefs were going to be this game.
Yeah.
And it was going to happen next year. I don't know where that has gone, but I was just envisioning the Chiefs at Oktoberfest and thought that was awesome.
Yeah, so you got your passport because you're going to need it.
I do have a passport.
And a COVID test?
Yeah. Okay. Dana's
got her passport yet?
I don't know.
So you're going to need to get your passport and get your lederhosen and get ready to go to Oktoberfest because the Chiefs are going to be playing in Munich.
Yeah, that's...
Which is awesome. I think that's so cool.
I think the Chiefs are going to be one of these games.
Yeah.
So.
I'm sure they will be. I mean, they're one of the more marketable teams right now with Patrick Mahomes,
Clark Hunt has been on the international committee for a number of years now and with the NFL, and so seems like a nice fit.
Yeah, I think it does.
Take Patrick Mahomes to Munich.
Yeah, take him to Germany, and it just feels better than the London game, right? Like the London game was on Sunday. Did anybody even really remember that game was being played? I remember when
it
first started.
Jets and Falcons,
right? But when the London game first started, it was like let's try to grow the game, and now it's been like let's send the worst teams possible we can overseas. We got the Jags as a built-in team over there.
It's kind of offensive to the people of London, right?
Like this is what you're giving me. You're giving me the Jets. Like, if I'm a Londoner and I see the Jets and Falcons rolling and the next year Patrick Mahomes is going to Germany, I'm like, what the hell, man? We were first on the block. We should be getting a better game than the Jets and Falcons.
It's almost like, trying to get somebody into listening to, a new artist, right? And you're like, man, I really like this group. I want you to listen to them. And then you play, their least popular song off a B-side. Shut up and play the hits. Send them some good competition. Send some good teams over there and let these folks see what the NFL's all about. And let's not act like there aren't some people already in these countries who do already get into the NFL and look at it and go, the Jets? Like, they have to know they suck going into it, too. It's not just blindsiding them. It's not like they got sent nickel back and they didn't know they were bad. Like, they knew it.
I'm surprised that they went to that game, too, because if I'm over there, I'm like, yeah, it's great. I'll watch it on TV. I'm not paying a lot of pounds to go watch the Jets take on the Falcons.
I mean, it's akin to, you know, us here in Kansas City going and watching preseason hockey or, you know, preseason NBA at well, I guess T-Mobile Center now. But, like, we don't always get the greatest of matchups. I mean, well, I take that back. The hockey matchups have been fairly decent. But, like, you know, it's just
LeBron's
enough.
LeBron's been here a couple times.
It's just enough to wet your whistle, right? Like, that's about
but
all
you really
want.
At least
these
are real games, though, they're sending to London. They're not sending preseason games over there, right?
Yeah, like, but all, like, my point is, we're not selling it out, but we're still showing up to experience the NBA or experience the NFL because a lot of folks in this city don't get an opportunity to do that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, from a standpoint of being able to go, well, I've been to an NFL game before, like they get to say that, but did you really?
Did you really? You saw the Jets. You saw the Jets play the Falcons.
I do love that game, though, because it's so many random jerseys.
There's never been two winning teams matched next to each other in that game. In the history of the game, there's never been two winning teams with a losing record or there's never been two teams with a winning record that have matched up in that London game, and that's been going on well more than a decade right now. It's like the league knows how to just send
one of them. It's usually the Jags,
right? Yeah, it seems like Miami's involved a lot. Like those AFC East teams seemingly are involved a lot going over there to London. It's an easier flight for them, obviously, but I think if you're going to Germany right now, you want to blow this thing out and really grow the game. Yeah, send the Chiefs and Packers over there next year. Or wherever Aaron Rodgers is playing.
I was going to say, that might be the good year to send the Packers, right? Although they'd probably still be mad about a road. I mean, nobody wants to give up a home game either, right?
Right.
So that's the difficult part of it, too. You have to have somebody to agree to it, which was some of the issue when the Chiefs went there, right?
Yeah.
Those situations come to play. I love the random jerseys of it, too, because everybody in England just shows up, I think, goes to the game that has an NFL jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
good.
Utter randomness.
Yeah, I think this Germany thing is going to be a lot of fun, man.
Chiefs in
Munich.
You
guys want to get a bus trip? Take everybody over there? Take listener sell $50
Chiefs,
tickets?
Chiefs to Munich.
Take the bus over?
Let's do this.
Look at the mega bus we can take over to Munich.
What is the Hyperloop?
Yeah, we'll do that.
You've been discussing.
Southwest would cancel our flight if we took it.
The Chiefs defense is historical. That's being kind. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Amen, brother.
Period. I mean, it's period point blank. And so many times we look at this offense and we can see all the things that they can do. We get so excited with Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And oh my goodness, Travis Kelce's under center. Oh my goodness, Tyreek Hill's under center. Oh, now it's Patrick Mahomes. Look at what they do. But you have to be able to stop people. And the reason that Josh Allen was ran so much last night is because they knew he was in no danger.
Right.
Wasn't nobody going to hit him. Nobody was going to be physical. There was no way that quarterback was going to be hurt because the Chiefs defense is soft. And when you're playing against a defense that's soft, you treat them as such. And that's what Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills did.
Ryan Clark on ESPN. Oh, guys are soft. Never want to hear that.
Especially from a former player. You know, it's one thing if, you know, a talking head like you or I said something like that. They go, what do you know? You never played the game. Well, Ryan Clark played the game.
Correct.
At a pretty decent level, right? Now he's got a national platform where he's on ESPN and has the opportunity to have an opinion about a lot of things. He's out there calling you soft. When does pride kick in?
It's a valid question. Does that come up on the weekly schedule for the NFL? Like weekly schedule, like Wednesday at 10 a.m. pride kicks in?
Well, I'd
love for them to schedule that in. That'd be awesome.
Look, you're on pace to be the worst defense in the history of the NFL right now, right?
Correct.
They're giving up 7.1 yards per play, which is more than a half yard worse than the current worst defense
season
in the NFL.
Yes.
And that was the New Orleans Saints in 2015.
That's over a season, of course.
Right. But I mean, we're five games into this thing, Josh. Do you see anything that goes, well, you know what? If they just do this, they're going to be okay. No.
7.1 yards per play the Chiefs are allowing this year. 6.6 yards per play is the NFL all-time low.
Right. And that was 2015 New Orleans Saints. And you had some even more information on that one that makes this even more eye-popping of what the Chiefs are doing.
The Saints
went 7-9 that year. Okay. You're like, okay, a bad defense. Gave up 6.6 yards per play. Drew Brees also threw for an NFL high 4,870 passing yards. They had plenty of offense to allegedly overcome the bad defense.
Mm-hmm.
They finished 7-9.
7-9. That's not a good trend.
It's really hard to overcome a bad defense.
It is. And that was historically bad.
Even with the most passing yards in the NFL that year by Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very difficult.
It is. And the Chiefs are trending in a direction now that is very on par with what the New Orleans Saints did in that 2015 year. And you want to try to stop that trend as quickly as possible. And that's why I say eventually pride has to kick in, right? Eventually you have to look at yourself in the mirror as a player and go, man, we're being called out by everybody now. Former players are calling us out. Like everybody right now, we are the punchline of every joke in the NFL. Every single person in this league and that's covering this league knows that we can't go out there and play defense. That's why I say it's time to just look at yourself in the mirror, start playing better football. I had Nivens yesterday send me a text. He goes, what can we do to make this defense better? I go, play better.
We can't do anything.
There's nothing. Yeah. Like
defense is soft.
There's nothing we can do right now about this defense. You just can't go out to Neiman Marcus and buy yourself a new defensive line right now, right? You can't do something like that in the middle of the season.
Until the season's over, right?
You got to wait for the clearance rack of a free agency time.
Always a sale at Kohl's.
That is true. There's a chance at Kohl's.
You can go to the thrift store, I guess.
But they need players that are going to play better. And at this point in the season, in week five now, going into week six of this NFL season, there's no magic elixir. There's no trade you can make. There's no draft you can have. This is what we've got. So that's why I say pride eventually has to kick in. And you got to say, I'm tired of being mocked. I'm tired of being told I'm the worst. Go out there and play better.
I don't typically buy into like the you just got to play better mentality, because typically I want to believe that on each and every play, you're giving max effort, right? Like, I think in the NFL at the top of the game where, you know, everybody's the cream of the crop, you can't get by without giving max effort each and every play on every single down, right? Like, we hear that all the time. And then you see things like a set of plays that happened in that Bills game where the defense needed a stop, and unfortunately it ended with Frank Clark having a penalty that called it back. But like that set of three plays shows you that this defense can step up and find a different gear when they need to. Now, after that was eliminated, after that was completely snuffed out, what happened? They went right back to doing what they'd been doing the entire damn game. But for that set of three downs, they were absolutely that team that you knew they could be. I'm not saying you have to do that for every single set of possessions here, but give us more of that. Because
you got to start, though.
It's clear that you have that gear. Find out how to make that your typical gear and not regress back to what you've been doing all season.
I don't call it an effort thing. I can't say you're not giving effort, but you're right. Ultimately, I think there's enough players on this roster. They shouldn't be where they're at.
Correct.
Like this defense has they're good enough to not be dredging up the bottom of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're vastly deficient of talent that they shouldn't be able to expect a mid-range level of defense on this team. It's not expecting too much. You'd mentioned like anybody that's watching any kind of games sees this defense as bad. Well, no one ever knows that Stephen A. Smith actually watches any games, mm-hmm. but even he's ranting about the Chiefs defense on ESPN.
Kansas City Chiefs are done. Let me say it right now.
You're saying they're done.
They're going to the postseason, sure, because of that dude, Patrick Mahomes. Their defense is trash. They can't stop a cold. Let's just call it what it is, okay? They're awful. They're the worst defense in the league in points allowed, second worst in yards allowed, second worst against the run. Don't get me started with what they are against the pass. They are an atrocity. And oh, by the way, Steve Spagnuolo, I thought this was a defensive coordinator that was a Super Bowl champion. Wasn't he the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants in 2007 when they won the Super Bowl, when they beat Tom Brady and the New England Patriots? Suddenly, he can't coach defense? I mean, my God. They're awful. Now, we like Honey Badger, so we don't want to hold him too responsible because we know that brother can play. Get me started with Sorensen. He got smoked. Don't get me started with Snead. He got smoked. Oh, by the way, when you look at, I mean, some dude, Dawson Knox, is that his name? I mean, this dude Knox for the Buffalo Bills, he had a big-time game, okay? Stephon Diggs didn't even get off that much, didn't have to. This defense is horrible.
I guess he just wasn't wearing Spags. Was actually with the Chiefs when they won the Super Bowl too. But
yeah, anyway. He did win it there. Is there anything we can refute though in that statement from Stephen A. Smith?
No. I hate saying play better. I feel like it is play better, play smarter. I don't think you're not giving your full effort. You're not playing smart. You're not playing assignment sound football. You just got to get better.
They're awful.
I don't want that answer, but that's what it is. There's enough talent there.
Yeah.
Play better. I
mean, there's nobody you can turn to that's sitting on the bench that's a diamond in the rough that's all of a sudden going to come in and make this thing better and take this defense to the next level. So that's why I say it in so simplistic terms. Play better. That's the only fix right now. Do your job better.
It's not playing like you care. I think they care.
Sure, I don't think it's a care thing. I think it's a want to thing. Go out there and play better. Just play better. Make the play you're supposed to make. Stay in your lane. Do your job. I mean, Bill Belichick simplified it to be the most simple thing on earth. Do your job. It's not that hard.
Every one of you sucks.
No, I don't think you do.
No, I think there's some good players out there.
See, I think it's different, much different than that group, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that group was terrible. There was no talent on that group. I think there's talent on this
group. This one, I say you're much better than your baseball card.
Yeah. Like, what's the deal with Frank Clark? Why can't he go out there and dominate? Take over a game. Card.
I think you can. You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Perform like you care.
Now, see, I do think they care. I don't think
that team didn't though.
I think they do care.
That team did not.
From the told you so department, everybody's going to tell you the Bills are way better. You can't even refute it. Darn it, Colin Cowherd on the herd.
They're not close to Buffalo. Forget great team. Right now, they're not a good team. Their defense is the worst in the NFL, and I'm including Seattle. They are now highly dependent on gimmicks. They can't run the football. Mahomes is getting increasingly sloppy. They're a finesse football team. Buffalo beats Kansas City 10 out of 10 times. Buffalo blitzed once on 63 snaps. Why? Didn't have to. Our guys are better than your guys. You blitz when your guys aren't good enough to create a pass rush. Buffalo's like, our dudes are better than your dudes. We'll bring four and get pressure. Chiefs are blitzing safeties and corners and linebackers and getting smoked. Like, this whole thing, I mean, nobody loves Andy Reid more than I do, but we all understand, right, that physicality matters in football. It's called the Patriots and Alabama dynasty. It's not been marked by always brilliant quarterback play or great weapons. I mean, New England hasn't had great weapons since, like, Randy Moss. It's defense and physicality and controlling the clock.
Mm. Another soft comment, pretty much there, right? Finesse.
Yeah.
Beat him 10 out of 10 times. I don't think so. I don't.
Based on that game,
I don't think the Bills beat you 10 out of 10 times.
Mm.
I think Chiefs are better than that.
Mm. Again, we switch roles here because there's nothing redeeming from that game that says, you know what, they're this close to Buffalo right now. I feel like the roles are reversed where 2 years ago everybody was measuring the Chiefs.
And also, I can make the case of why you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes. I mean,
yeah, you don't blitz Patrick Mahomes.
This offense can be neutralized a little bit if you drop seven.
But
if I get enough pressure with four, that's good too. I mean, I love any defense you can say, give me four guys that can pressure and I don't have to do all the other stuff. That is the dream.
But
it's
those
awesome.
Guys were getting home though, Josh. Those guys were pressuring.
They were doing a good job, but also drop seven is the way I'm playing the Chiefs anyway.
Yeah, but sure. Especially when you got a defensive front like Buffalo that can get home with four.
I make Patrick Mahomes pick his spots.
Yeah.
And so that's the defense I'm playing anyway, regardless if I can get four home to pressure him. I'm dropping a bunch of guys back and saying, can you pick the field apart or not?
Yeah, well,
that's the way to go.
I mean, I think that's more of an indictment, though, if you flip it around and you see here's why the Chiefs have to blitz, because they can't get home with their four guys. That's the way I listen to that one as well. I'm like, okay, you start talking about the blitz, and you don't want to blitz. Everybody wants you to blitz because your four guys that are supposed to get to the quarterback are inept, and they can't get to the quarterback. That's why. You have to blitz. That's why you have to send guys.
Or when it's timely and you can catch somebody off guard.
Sure, something like that.
Yeah. It's great, but because you have to.
Right, the Chiefs are blitzing now because they have to blitz, because they can't get to the quarterback with the guys that are paid the big bucks to get to the quarterback.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDF HD2 Liberty, and Odyssey Station. So, as we knew it, Bills are top, going to be atop the power
rankings. Yeah, they're going to be. I'm sure they are. Really, they should be. Yeah.
Can't really argue with that. The historically worst Chiefs defense. Gotta figure something out. It is a anniversary of one of the greatest games of that Royals run.
And now sip to the belt, end of the plate. Breaking ball, ground ball up the middle. Correa, he misplayed it. The ball goes into center field. 2-run score, and this game is tied. And Carlos Correa, in the blink of an eye, goes from hero to goat.
One of the reasons I don't get as mad at the Astros, just strangely enough, and like this postseason, like I still those are the Astros I remember.
Mm-hmm, those are the ones. Yeah. I've kind of stopped my timeline after that really year with the Houston Astros.
I know, there's a lot of angst and anger every time you see the Astros. I'm like, I just can't get all worked up about it because we beat them. I don't know.
Imagine if we didn't beat him, though, that year and we'd lost and all the cheating allegations came out. Yes. How different would history be right now in this town? And not really, I should say, history. History obviously would be different, but our feeling right now, we'd be so we wouldn't be able to get over that. Yeah. And I'm being serious about that. Like, as Royals fans who waited 30 years for the next world championship, had the Houston Astros beat us that year and then the allegations came out that they were cheating and they had beaten us, I'd be like, oh my goodness, what in the hell did we just have to experience? How bad is the luck here in Kansas City where we can't even find a way to win in the postseason against a team that is not better than us at this point in time? Because they weren't better than the Royals at this point in time, but they were cheating. We lost a game and a series and a chance to win a championship to cheaters. That would not sit well. We would never get over that here in Kansas City.
No title and lost to cheaters.
Right. Wow. Yeah. And we'd still be fishing for that title. And we go, wow, back-to-back postseason. Like, we wouldn't even have had back-to-back World Series.
Still be a really angry sports town.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have this, you know, assuming we're working in, you know, separate timelines, we'd still have the Super Bowl.
Right.
And the Chiefs would be the greatest thing ever when we had the Super Bowl and living that, but it'd be an angry baseball town.
Yeah.
And very angry, like, you ruined our chances. You cheated and took that. Yeah, it would be probably like the teams that were in that postseason.
Who did the Astros beat in the World Series that year now? That
Dodgers, right?
Was it? Yeah, that's right. The Dodgers. Of course they beat the Dodgers that year because the people in LA still can't get over that. They were able to get their world championship.
And they don't get mad. I mean, they don't get really mad there, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is what we got. Right. LA, you know, take it, leave it, whatever.
Sure.
I don't know that we'd have gotten over it. If those allegations came out that season and it was found out that they were cheating against us in that playoff run, I don't know that that's get overable. We're a really, really angst-ridden baseball community. Right now.
Absolutely. A very, very angst-ridden baseball community, and would have been even more angst-ridden if that situation had gone the way that it could have potentially gone. And that would not have been good, man. Like, I don't want to be sitting here saying, man, we missed out on opportunities. But we missed out on opportunities not because of something we did, but because of something you did that was taken from us.
Yeah, yeah.
That was illegal and wrong and absolutely 100% deplorable. So thank goodness we beat them that year. And everybody should look back on that Royals team and say, thanks for finding a way to beat these guys, because who knows where this dynasty would have gone.
So I get a little smile on my face when I think of Astros, unlike a lot of people.
And now sip to the belt, end of the plate. Breaking ball, ground ball up the middle. Correa, he misplayed it. The ball goes into center field. 2-run score, and this game is tied. And Carlos Correa, in the blink of an eye, goes from hero to goat.
He all smiles. Mm-hmm. I don't know what people are mad at the Astros.
Yeah, they should be very happy with the Houston Astros for blowing that game in game 4 of the ALDS. You saw it out at Arrowhead on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say. It was a fight that went down between two Chiefs super fans. And one of the guys, Tim Orman, with us here on 610 Sports Radio, involved in that scuffle. Tim, give us your side of the story, my man. Let me know what happened from your perspective on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say, at Arrowhead Stadium, where all of this went down and the video is surfacing of you and X Factor.
Number one, nothing in that video or occurred 2 weeks ago should have occurred in Arrowhead Stadium. Everything that was going on between me and somebody else should have been dealt with in a different area, outside the stadium, outside the parking lot. Never should have happened inside Arrowhead Stadium. But with that, knocking that son of a gun out was the greatest thing that's ever happened for me. So I want to thank him for finally putting physical hands on me for that to occur. Dude, you never should have assaulted me, and you never would have gotten dropped.
So what led to all this, Tim?
This has been going on for years. As you've probably seen his video also, he claims that he created Red Extreme. He created a guy that painted himself red. He created the outfit. I came from Southeast Kansas, a small town in Coffeyville down there. I started doing the red paint down there as something fun to do with my children. When I come to Kansas City, the first game, I did run into Ty. I did find him to be obviously a bright character. Through talking with him over the next few years, we did, you know, it wasn't a one-sided thing. My mom actually made my outfit for me. He lays claim I was an apprentice. No, I had fun and I did things with him. I'm fine. Use the term apprentice if that's what you like. I had never done the charity work. So, hey, maybe I was. He's accused of a lot of things. I will not discuss accusations. Things that I have against him, most of it's public record. The gentleman came into Section 129 on Sunday. He came down to my I didn't go looking for him. This is not the behavior that it should have happened in Arrowhead Stadium.
So what led to you finally confronting him like that? Did was he doing stuff in the stands? What happened there that led to the confrontation?
I stand on my chair on third down to try to get the crowd, you know, riled up, get them louder. Mm-hmm. When I get off my chair before the play, and I do it every play so I don't obstruct the view from people behind me, I noticed I got splashed with something. It happens quite often, sometimes on purpose, sometimes on accident, and I don't react to it. So I kind of turn around this time, and I did something that I despise anybody doing, and that's flipping anybody off in the stadium, because there's always cameras that catch that stuff. I turned back around and finished watching the play, and just like the rest of the third downs, we didn't stop them. So after the play was over, I was standing off to the side in the aisleway. And so I went to head that way when he looked at me, because he looked at me with a smirk on his face and did that little hand gesture of, come on. At first, my wife grabbed me and wasn't going to let me go. And then she realized who it was, realized she was soaking wet, and she let go of me. So I was headed out to go up the aisle to go get security. As I turned the corner and headed up the stairs, I'm sure I was at a quick pace. He wants to say I charged him. Well, I'm sure I was moving at a fairly good pace. He grabbed me with two hands, grabbed me by the jersey, and that's when everything happened.
And so where do we go from here? Like, what's the next step? Where are you moving forward with all of this?
You know, I don't know if there is a move forward. I'll be honest, getting to have physical contact with him like that, I have wanted to do for years. For years, I have tried to call out his public antics, his private antics. Fox 4 did a wonderful piece on him yesterday where Ty Routon admitted on the air he has never done meth. He is a cocaine user and an alcoholic. That was him self-admitting on Fox 4. There is a clip that I clipped it up a little bit, and I put it on my Facebook page, of him saying it from Fox 4. The problem with Fox 4 is Fox 4 does not like to investigate anything. Or when they allowed this man to go on air, walk down a sidewalk. Now, mind you, according to his post, he had a broken ankle. He had broken ribs. He had teeth knocked out of his head. Dude, look at your pictures, man. Go get them fixed. That's what you need. But anyway, Fox 4 did his piece on him and made him look like a 70-year-old guy, they couldn't walk down the street. He's blaming broken ankles and broken ribs, everything on one punch to the jaw. I'm sorry, I didn't realize my name was Mike Tyson. Because to get punched and break an ankle, man, that's something special. I'm in the wrong business. I cannot stand to stand by and allow Ty Rowton, a.k.a. X Factor, to continue to get DUIs, continue to be a drug user, continue to be an alcoholic. I have photos from the game on Sunday with him drinking them stupid natural white, what are they called, Natter Days?
Yeah.
He's got one in his chair and one in his hand. He can play innocence to being drunk on Sunday all he wants. The reason I can identify that picture to that game in the video, you notice he's wearing a blue shirt. As he's laying on the ground, you notice the older version of his spandex clothes. You notice he's not wearing the different shoes. They're just like normal shoes he's wearing. He's wearing the same thing in a car. He's wearing the same thing in the photo I have. I can contribute the exact pictures and his video on Facebook to the same day. So I have proof he was drinking on Sunday. You know, these behaviors cannot be condoned inside the stadium. I have gone to Kansas City Chiefs and spoke to them. So hopefully with this whole process, things work out the way they should.
Well, and that-
I hope I'm not in trouble with the Kansas City Chiefs for defending my wife and myself. If he had never laid a finger on me, I never would have touched him. This is something I wanted to do outside because, trust me, I didn't want it to be one and done. I didn't expect him to fall that easy.
Well, Tim, we appreciate you coming on and sharing your side of the story, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Bob.
You got it. Take care. Tim Orman, a Red Extreme, as a super fan for the Chiefs, involved in that fight that took place at Arrowhead Stadium, giving his side of the story.
The Monday night game got a little wild, and you may have missed it. Next.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.